Sunday, December the 4th, was foggy and promising rain. We all look hopefully to the skies every morning, and rain is everybody's conversation. Lucy and Pat had been to a party in Austin, Jake Pickles, the night before, so they were sleeping late and going to later mass. And it was only Lyndon and I and Bess drove to St. Barnabas. I liked the minister, McAllister, so much and wish he could stay. Afterwards, we had coffee in the little log cabin that had served us as a mission church for some 12 or so years. Before that, a German immigrant family for a home for more than 100 years. I told some of the newsmen the communion wine was made from the grapevine in the backyard, and the vine had come over on a ship with an immigrant family from Germany and had traveled with their belongings by ox cart from Indianola, where the ship had landed, to Fredericksburg. The family was named Walter. He built this house in 1846. Lyndon told our press officer, I believe it was Tom Johnson, that if any of the reporters had not been to the ranch, they could follow us home and he would drive them around. About 7 did. We piled them in a station wagon. He showed them the cemetery and the school, the house where he was born, and then drove through the Reagan and the Martin and the dance. Somewhere along the way, I left the group and went in to sign lots of Christmas mats. The pile is being reduced, but it was 3 o'clock before I could get us in for lunch. Bess and Jesse, and Lyndon and I, and Marie and Mary, a small family. Seldom do we sit down. There's only 6 at the table. The house is aglow with flowers. This is good work. White and peppermint carnations, and yellow and bronze and russet and apricot chrysanthemums. The prettiest green from our own yard, Podocarpus. Bess is so inventive. She's arranged them all. Dozens of bouquets, some in every room, and all in preparation of what is the big event of the day, having the Secret Service men and their wives over for barbecue dinner. Okay. It had all been Lyndon's idea, and one of those ideas I love him for. He'd suggested having his detail and mine, those that follow us everywhere, bring their wives down for the weekend at the ranch, coming with me on the plane Friday and returning sometime Monday. It had been a well-planned, happily executed weekend. I'd talked it over with them Johns and asked him to get with Bess for all the logistics. Wonderful pair, Mary and James, made a trip to each house, taking flowers and candy and things for breakfast, including homemade bread and ranch bacon, and I hope I'd told her so, some of our own preserves. It had been fun to plan, and twice as much fun when the Secret Service people began to arrive about 4 o'clock, and I met all the wives and got names and faces affixed to the wives that belonged to the husbands I knew pretty well. The first arrivals found Lyndon and me out riding. We hurried home. He took a car very full, and I took a station wagon with my 3 agents and their wives and the Ponchuses, and Jesse Kellum took a 3rd car. And Clarence Kanetch came along in the backup car. Somebody brought refreshments. Lyndon started with his group to the Hartman, and I to my favorite place, the Scharnhorst. We saw the black buck antelope bounding along, and they were interested in the stagecoach road, the big pink outcroppings. I told them about our river walks. Most fun of all was to hear what they'd been doing. They'd had a venison supper at Stonewall with some of the people stationed there. Mrs. Kanetch had had them over for lunch. Jewel Malachek for coffee one day. They'd gone into Austin to do some shopping and sightseeing, and the agents stationed there had a cocktail party for them, and then they'd gone for a Mexican dinner. All the agents had become authorities on what is the best Mexican food, and then to dance. So it had been a full weekend, but most especially, he said, they'd enjoyed seeing the people and the places, the wildlife and the countryside that their husbands talked about. Bess had been so busy getting ready for dinner, she could not go with us. Seating 32 graciously in our dining room is no easy matter. We had a drink on the Scharnhorst as we traveled the river road, and then went home, picked up Bess, and in the last rays of sunlight, rode around over the Martin. There's always one more thing you wish you'd shown them, and for me, it was Charlie. At 4 o'clock, when they had begun to come, Linton and I were up at Dale's barn looking at the bulls he's readying for the Johnson City auction tomorrow. About 8 or 9 fine-looking animals. One was lying down flat on his side, his feet stuck out, being hosed down and scrubbed with soap by the Meyer boy. Several were having their hoofs and horns polished with emery cloths. And Charlie, that resplendent animal, was having the final touches put on lovingly with a curry comb and having the first third of his tail shaved and the bottom two-thirds combed out glossy and beautiful with as much care as Jean-Louis would give me if I were heading for the opera. It was a sight to see, and Charlie was a beauty. I asked his real name. It went rather like an auctioneer's chant and went something like this. LBJ Ranch, Colorado Husker, 127th. Except there were more words to it. But he was Charlie for short and beloved by Dale and Clary and Dale's two little boys and all the ranch hands. He was utterly placid and amiable and behaved just like a big teddy bear. But it was dark when we passed the barn, and Dale had left Charlie and gone down to the ranch house to join us. We'd invited him and Jewel and the Weinheimers to dinner. So something after 6, we returned to the main ranch, and I told some of the ladies, as many as I could gather around me in the little sitting room, the story of the coffee table and the needle point and the big deer head and my copper from the flea market. And then we went in, buffet style, to help ourselves. Barbecue and ribs and an enormous bowl of beans and hot homemade bread. And the dining room looked delightful. The light's low, and even Lyndon agrees with it now, with this exasperating eye trouble he has. Flowers everywhere, and all 30-odd of us seated comfortably enough. I had Lem Johns on my left and Jerry Kivett on my right, and Betty Weinheimer, whose good company and adds some variety. Lyndon was host at one table, Jesse at one, accompanied by Bess, and the Clarence Kanetches at another. Lyndon had kept Marie and Mary busy all afternoon, wrapping yet another gift, an oak tree picture of the two of us, which we both autographed, a copy of the President's Country, until there was a little stack of 3 or 4 in gold and ribbons for each of the 12 wives. And when we got to dessert, Lyndon walked around the room, passing them out, a moment he always loves
so much.
Then I said a few words about how happy we were to have the wives of these men who meant so much in our lives to share a weekend with us. And Ruth Youngblood answered with a sweet, warm speech. And then Lyndon talked, full of his pithy, humorous, sentimental expressions. I'd like to really know what every one of these men think about him. He was full of praise for their devotion to their job, not him, their good humor toward everything. It was a happy evening. We all filed out to the hangar to see movies, but first Okie took a picture of each agent and his wife with Lyndon and me. Tonight is the first use of the hangar in a party situation. It looked nice and was comfortable. We took coffee and passed around candy, and the Johnson Bijou has certainly grown from the 6 or 8 seats in the guest house. We saw a day in April. I'll never forget the Secret Service agents running beside the car mile after mile in that 8,000 or so foot altitude, and the Manila Conference. I can only guess at the amount of work and strain those men poured into that. And at the President's Country, which I hope they enjoy, opening gates and dashing from helicopter to boat and all. A little before 9, everybody said goodbye with plans to leave tomorrow, and I think it's been a marvelously successful weekend, thanks to Lyndon's generous thought and Bessie's good management. Every night here at the ranch for me winds up with a paraffin bath for this little ridiculous ailment, whether it's arthritis or trigger finger or whatever, on my right hand, and then a rub. I shall enjoy this height of luxury until the carriage turns into a pumpkin. Then the real dessert of the day, reading myself to sleep. Right now it's Alan Drury's Capable of Honor, an excellent book, particularly for one who's lived the life that we in Washington do. Months ago, it was a William Faulkner, two Truman Capotes, In Cold Blood, and Other Voices, Other Rooms. Later, a light but charming book, September Child. And every now and then, I pick up Helen Hayes' A Gift of Joy, an especially dear book. Amputees. the Walter Reed Army Medical Center, who'd been wounded in Vietnam. And the party was a night at the Washington Hilton, food and drink donated by the local merchants.